Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. Wow, almost forgot the name of my own show. It's been so long. Yes, this is Blue Liner on Point. Almost forgot my own name too. Back with you, but not in a New York groove, thank God. Well, what a long, strange gap it's been. Yes, I had to take some time off again. A lot of bit of life thrown at me. Once again, been busier than a mosquito at a nudist colony. And that nudist colony, appropriately enough, was in the Virginia city of Manasses. But anyway, enough about the weekend. Just too much I had to take care of. Like I said, a bit of life. Tried to do something with the old vocation, look for a new job, a little bit of less stress, that kind of thing. Evidently, I found out that my real employer is the mafia, because every time I try to get out, they pull me back in. So I'm stuck with the same position, but same good people, thank God. Mike, Joe, PJ, Ian, Gabe, if you're all listening, thank God for you. Anyway, yeah, too much to cover. So where did I leave you off at? Oh, yes, the beginning of the season where I said, yeah, it'd be great if they could fly under the radar and have a good season at all at the same time, which they were doing right up until December when they decided to kick it up a notch and take over the whole league again. And while I was glad to see them return to form, because they did look kind of shaky in the first month or so, didn't look like they were capable of putting some good games together. But eventually they got it together, and like I said, they took over first place in both the division and the league around December or so. But before I get too much into the Caps, I kind of want to go over some other stuff that happened over the course of these past 5 months. Not even going to get into the political stuff. Of course, you know, we have a brand new president. Chester Cheetah lives in Pennsylvania Avenue now. Oh no, I insulted the president. I guess I am going to jail now. I am shouting because I have voice modulation. No, I really don't, but just throwing that out there for a friend. We also had the, jumping around here, I know. We also had the 100th anniversary celebration of the league. I'll be doing a quick snippet about that. Won't be the usual extended historical segment I usually do. Gonna keep this close for time. Yeah, there they are, my friends. Speaking of friends, I am glad to see that I'm still picking up some downloads here and there. Oh, ye few but faithful, thank you so very much for being loyal to the podcast. I didn't mean to desert you for so long. I'm sorry that I did that, but again, just too much stress, too much I had to do, and I didn't want to do this half-assed. I wanted to put my entire best effort on it, and as much as I wanted to do some shows on, you know, whenever I was able to snatch some free time, I just did not have enough time, and I did not feel I was at my best to put that sort of effort that this endeavor definitely deserves. So once again, my heartfelt apologies to those of you out there who have been loyal to the show. I do thank you. I'm going to try my best to keep up a better effort, especially now that we're going into the stretch run towards not only the trade deadline, which is tomorrow, more on that later, but also the playoffs, more on that later, and such. But getting back to the NHL 100-year anniversary, it all culminated in this year's All-Star Game in L.A., where they announced the NHL's 100 greatest players. And if you're a longtime Caps fan like I am, probably no prouder moment other than Alex Ovechkin walking out with the last group than seeing Mike Gartner out there. And for a guy who never won the Stanley Cup but managed to score over 700 goals in his career, that must have been a pretty sweet moment for him. And if you're a longtime Caps fan, again, you can take a little pride in that. For a good chunk of his career, we had probably one of the best players in the league at the time, I would say. Okay, so I know a lot of you out there are sitting on pins and needles. You're waiting for my opinion on it, so I'm going to get right to it. Not going to make you wait anymore. Not going to stall. Not going to keep talking about other things. Not going to keep rambling on.
Yes, get over that!
Get on with it!
Yeah, get to it. I know. Okay, last night, there was a development. Yes, I think you all know what I'm talking about right now. Kevin Shattenkirk is now a Washington Capital. And we're talking about somebody who, if he was not a Norris candidate, should have been. And certainly one of the most consistent defensemen in the league over the course of the last 5 or 6 seasons. Okay, so to wit, I'm going to read some information directly courtesy of www.hockey-reference.com. Okay, so Shattenkirk first came into the league, drafted by the Colorado Avalanche. First full season was 2010-2011. Not sure. Let's see here. Okay, so his first full season, his rookie season in 2011, finished with 9 goals, 34 assists for 43 points, was a -4. Average ice time for a rookie, this is pretty good, 19 minutes, 50 seconds. Was a candidate for the Calder Trophy, but lost out to Jeff Skinner, of all people. Okay. But, yeah, definitely no slouch in his first year. I was with the Avalanche. He was traded a year later for Eric Johnson to the Blues, where he was, until this year, repeated his 9-goal, 34-assist performance the next year. Of course, next year after that was the lockout shortened season. He's pretty steady. He'll give you about 10 to 15 goals, 30 to 40 assists, around 40, 50 points a year. Definitely will not hurt you. Had a pretty good solid plus-minus rating in 2012. It was a plus 20. Recently, plus-minus rating not so good, but I attribute that to the basic collapse of the team and the fact that Jake Allen did not have his head screwed on for about 2/3 of this season. Let's hope that changes for them. But anyway, and for those of you who might be hearing about this for the first time, what rock have you crawled out from under? The trade went down like this. The Capitals got Kevin Shattenkirk, both Kevin Shattenkirk and a name that should be a bit familiar to us Caps fans, Phoenix Copley, for Zach Sanford, a first-round draft pick for this year, and a conditional second-round draft pick in 2019. We also gave up Brad Malone in that deal. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. This is a steal. I think even if Shattenkirk walks, pardon me, even if he ends up walking, because he is an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season, but even if he decides to walk and sign with another team in next year's offseason, this is a steal. And yes, I have a lot of respect for Zach Sanford, and I will make no secret that Zach Sanford, I was not exactly a big fan of his. I thought he was taking up a roster spot that should have belonged to someone else. And as it turned out, I was right, because we didn't see him again until about a month and a half after the Christmas break. And then he started to show something. And I think General Manager BMAC did a little sleight of hand getting him up there and showcasing him a bit, and fooling Mr. Armstrong over in St. Louis into thinking, hey, we might have something here. Again, not to denigrate Zach Sanford, I think he's going to be a pretty good forward, but yeah, when you weigh everything out, even with the fact that, again, that Shattenkirk's going to be a UFA, I don't know that the Blues got an equal value in this thing. You're practically losing your number one, a bona fide top pairing defenseman who can contribute offensively and can be a difference maker and can easily step onto any team and be top four on any team. I'm telling you, any of the 30 teams, he would be top four defenseman, easily. I said something, he should be a perennial Norris contender. Had it not been for the fact that he's been playing out west for all of his career, and for another guy by the name of Drew Doughty, maybe he would be a perennial Norris candidate. But that's a discussion for another time, another podcast, another group of fans. Am I excited about this trade? You damn Skippy, I am. I just told you why. And it doesn't hurt that the fact that, you know, he's easily going to fill in a big hole that we have now with both Brooks Orpik and Matt Niskanen out for what we're hearing is supposed to be a short amount of time, but I don't know. I'm a little leery of that, but I say this addition allows, of course, to rest those two gentlemen for an extended amount of time, put him in Todd Reirden's more than capable hands and tutelage, let him learn the system, let him acclimate to the system, hell, let the guy play 25 to 30 minutes a night for all I friggin' care, okay? Let him loose, let him learn the system, and let him be comfortable in his new role. Like I said, if he's not top four, I will be shocked. And I think it was Ed Frankovic of WNST who laid out the 1 through 8. This easily bumps Nate Schmidt to number 7, the number 7 slot, and therefore Taylor Mesochorny down to the 8 spot. No knock on those two. Those two guys have been playing very well, probably above their capabilities for this year, but they are not, neither one of them, they are not Kevin Shattenkirk. They are not game breakers. They are not people who will protect the lead late in the game. At least not very well. At least if you saw what happened to poor Nate Schmidt against the Rangers. And again, no knock. I love Schmidty, but you know, that kind of a thing happened to him against Pittsburgh, and with everything so tight, you can't let that kind of a thing happen. You just can't. So that begs the question, do I think the Caps are now a solid lock for the Stanley Cup? Well, I would love to say yes. And while I would love to say yes, there are other concerns. And one of them being, can we avoid the injury bug? Well, right now we're in the midst of it. Maybe this will be the extent of it. But come playoff time, you never know. Especially... Now, one of the two teams, and they both happen to be from Pennsylvania, that I do not want to see at all in the playoffs is Philadelphia. And we happen to draw them. Well, I don't doubt that we can beat them, but that's going to be another tough out. And if the Caps don't sweep them, then it's going to be awfully hard not to repeat what happened last year. Because I think that made the difference. I think Pittsburgh was a little fresher coming off of their series in the first round last year, and that was enough of a difference. So it's all going to come down to how do they come out of the first round? Who do they play and how do they come out? Well, it's hard to prepare. We got so much damn parity in the league. You don't know who the hell you're playing. You're not going to know who the hell you're playing until probably the last night of the season. So, that isn't in their favor, but I'm sure coaches Trotz, Lambert, and Reirden have a plan. Now, for me, I'm not too concerned about, say, Toronto or the New York Islanders. Those teams have a lot of speed, but they just don't have the chops to get past the first round. So I'm not too concerned about them. The only potential first round opponent I'm concerned about is the Flyers. So I'm desperately hoping they do not make it because, they're not going to win a first round series. They're not built for the playoffs, but they are built to hurt you. They are built to cause injuries. And I'm not sure why player safety hasn't looked more into this, but you look at the way they play, they know if they don't win, they're going to deliberately cause harm and injury. And that's something that needs looking into, but it's not because it's the NHL and they drag their feet about everything. And if you're a Flyers fan and you happen to be listening, well then, you. Go listen to your Homer podcast with that ugly chick that thinks Mike Milbury is a hockey god. Yeah, good luck with that. Anyway, I want to move on to a bit of a different topic that is more league-wide but does concern the Capitals because it has caused them a bit of consternation as far as I've seen. It's causing a lot of teams, every team, some concern as I've seen it. But this thing about the bye week. First of all, I don't know whose idea this thing was. I'm hoping the NHLPA didn't initiate it because I would like to think their management is smarter than that, but they had to have seen this coming. They had to have seen this coming with condensing the schedule due to the world cash grab and other things going on, that this would not be a good thing ultimately for the players, even though it gives them some extra time off. Now, I don't know of one team that came out of the bye week that they had, that whether or not they had a winning record in that first week. I don't think they did. I don't think any team did, for that matter. So in terms of that, I obviously, to me, it's not a very good idea. But here's the thing. Now they're talking about expanding it. They're talking about giving more of a bye week, doubling it for next year. Guess what's next year, folks? The Olympics. And yeah, it doesn't look like there's going to be participation, but you're going to have easily 24 of the top 50 players missing at some point because they're going to go, whether they have the blessing or not. They're going to go, especially if they're internationals. Maybe not Canadians or Americans, but Europeans, certainly, they're going to go. And who knows? The NHL may well decide to take the 2 weeks off, in which case, the season will be even more condensed. Why throw in bye weeks? Whose idea was this? Whose idea was this to have a bye week? We're taking friggin' ideas from the National Frig Up League? We're taking ideas from them? The people that don't understand that if you mess with the object of the playing device, the ball, you ought to be suspended? The people that don't understand that striking a woman is a crime and should be dealt with? Those people? Seriously? We're taking ideas from them? This has the big bald a-hole's fingerprints all over it. This has Bill Friggin Daly's fingerprints all over it. I can tell. I can't see Bettman coming up with this. But I'm all for the players getting some extra rest. But this has been nothing but bad, in my opinion. You want to give them some rest? Make the All-Star break longer. Make it a whole week, not just 3 days. And eliminate this BS about, the player has to miss the next game without pay if they can't make the All-Star break, if they can't make the All-Star game and they're picked. Eliminate that. Just let them go if they have to rest up. Bunch of cheesy garbage. Yeah, I think I've wandered too far off topic. So I'm going to get back to, for the Caps fans, I'm going to get back to the benefits of this latest deal. Obviously, we were in need of a right-handed defenseman, which Shattenkirk is. Shattenkirk. Wow, that sounds like, I love the guy, but that name sounds like a really bad Twitter handle for a closeted Trekkie. I don't know. But anyway, he obviously fills in a need. Like I said, he's easily top four anywhere in the league. You ask anybody, he can fill that need. Now, the thing that comes to mind, especially given the fact that both Niskanen and Orpik are injured right now, is something that Ted Leonsis said about, I want to say, 10 years ago. It was the year that they got Trevor Linden at the trade deadline. And this can be a good thing, and this can be a bad thing. I'm not altogether sold that deadline deals make the difference. The best and only case I can think of where that made the difference in a team winning the Stanley Cup eventually was 1980, when the New York Islanders traded for Butch Goring. They traded Billy Harris for Butch Goring. And as they say, he was the missing piece that helped the Islanders to the first of four straight Stanley Cups. That is the best and only example I can think of a deadline deal making the difference. Now, if you're a Caps fan, and yes, I'm injecting a little more history in here. There was that year that George McPhee decided to trade for Cristobal Huye, and while yes, he instantly improved the goaltending, if not made that part of the bench a little uncomfortable and crowded, they still didn't get past the first round. They got into the playoffs, surprisingly, but they still didn't get past the first round. Then there was that year that they traded for Jason Arnott. I believe that was 2011. And he looked spectacular in the first round against the Rangers. Then they ran into that brick wall called the friggin' Tampa Bay Lightning and got swept. And he was gone. He was gone, if you're a Hee-Haw fan. I can't remember what we gave up, but it couldn't have been a lot. And then there was that year that cost GMGM his job, where he went and got some guy named Martin Erat. And all we gave up for him was, this guy named Philip Forsberg, who's now scoring hat tricks all over the place in a place called Smashville. And as I recall, Erat had trouble finding the net. He couldn't find the net if he was a friggin' fisherman. So no, I'm sorry. Historically, I'm not a believer in the big deadline deal for that last piece. But as a lot of media outlets have been quick to say, this means that the Caps are all in as far as going for the Stanley Cup. Well, duh. GMBM has made no secret whatsoever that this is the last of the two window years. Okay? I don't think, again, if you're a Caps fan, you know. We've got contracts out the wazoo to get covered, at least three of them, not the least of which being TJ Oshie. They don't re-sign him, then you can pretty much write off the next 3 years. They'll be lucky to make the playoffs. I don't think they'll even be a contender at that point, but they'll be lucky to make the playoffs if they don't re-sign him. You mark my words. So at the very least, they need to re-sign him, which is probably going to wipe out whatever resource they would need to re-sign the other free agents. Not to mention whatever the hell's going to happen after the buzzards, the vultures known as the vegan Golden Knights, have their pick at everything. You don't know what's going to happen with that. I can guarantee you this. At least two of the regular starters, and most likely Philip Grubauer, are gone as a result of the expansion draft. So this year is it, folks. If you didn't know it before, you should have. And you know it now. This is it. It's now or never. That's why this deal was done. I don't know if I ever said it, but basically Ted Leonsis, when the deal was made for Trevor Linden, the year before that, his quote went something along the lines of this. He wanted his team to be more bulletproof, meaning he understood that four rounds of a maximum of 7 games each can take its toll on a team. So next man up better not only be a warm body, not just a warm body, okay? A warm body can just stand there. You on the other side of the earbuds, the speakers, a certain few of you, I think you know what I mean by this. You can have a warm body that just stands there and does the bare minimum, but is unacceptable. In the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, you need better than a warm body. You need somebody who can step up and perform at the level that is necessary. Kevin Shattenkirk is that player. I believe in this deal, but in the back of my mind, there's still going to be that skepticism. But I think we just need to put that out of our minds for the time being, and not just hope for the best, but know that the best is going to work out. Because like I said, this is it. It's now or never. If it doesn't happen this year, then it may not happen for a long, long time. Not to put any pressure on anybody, but I have watched this team for a long, long time, and I thought in certain years, 1986 to be the first one, where the Caps had a lot of depth. They had 4 lines and 3 pairings of defensemen that were capable of taking the team far. And, of course, we've had our hearts broken many, many times over the years. But if you look at the decor they have now, if you think about if everyone was healthy, let me rattle off some names. Potential first pairing options. Just by name alone. Carl Alzner. John Carlson, who I think is in a bit of a funk and needs to get his head on straight. But when he's at his best, he can take over a game. Dmitry Orlov, who's starting to round into form. You're not seeing him make those stupid mistakes he normally makes. Not as much. Not anywhere near as much. Matt Niskanen, who, in my estimation, is the true number one defenseman. Not Carlson. Not Orpik. Not even Alzner. He's the true best all-around defenseman. I mentioned Brooks Orpik. There's another name. And now Kevin Shattenkirk. That's what? 6 defensemen. That's your 3 pairings right there. And I haven't even mentioned Nate Schmidt and Taylor Mesochorny yet. 2 guys that are right now pretty good at filling in bottom 4. So you've got amongst those 8 guys, you've got 4 of them that can easily play anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes a night if need be, and be shut down, as well as in Niskanen's and Carlson's cases, can help your offense as well. Let me throw in Orlov too, when he gets the room and he has the wheels. All right? That's reason enough to feel good, because right now, and I'm sure you on the other side of the earbuds knows this, if you've been watching a decent amount of hockey, it ain't the forwards that rule the game. It ain't the goalies. It's the D-men. You don't see it often. But who starts the rush at the other end? Who causes the turnovers? Who blocks the shots that causes the puck to bounce erratically away from the offensive team and reverse possession? You don't have a quality decor that can do all of that and more. You can't hang with the league. And I'm sorry to say, because one of my best friends is a fan of this team, but you take one look at the Phoenix Coyotes, and that's why they're doing so poorly. Because they need help on that back end. That's why the Edmonton Oilers sucked out loud for all those years. They were top heavy with forwards. Who do they have in the back end? Nobody. But now that staff, that part of their staff is rounded into form, and they're on the edge of making the playoffs. Perhaps even winning their division. Okay. It's not goalies. It's not forwards that make the league. It's your decor. And BMAC has, Mr. McClellan has gone balls to the wall in this deal. And you gotta admire him for that. And I'm gonna throw out some more history. I told you about all those crappy deals that George McPhee made. Well, that, when he was making bad deals, or when he wasn't making bad deals, he wasn't making any deals at all. He wasn't swinging for the fences at all. Where he should have made a deal. Where he should have changed the chemistry of the team. Where he should have plugged in some holes, but didn't. Opportunities to swing for the fences, and he didn't. And now we have a GM who not only sees that opportunity, but knows the best way to fill in the hole with the least amount of cost. I'm just trying to give you some reasons to feel good. Positive energy begets positive energy. So if you become of the mindset that not so much that it is destiny, it is a foregone conclusion, but you go in there with the confidence that you know whatever comes your way, you can handle it. I think now, finally, we have a team that will not allow those demons from the past to even play a factor. Doesn't matter how much the damn media wants it so. Now you have a team that is bulletproof. And where the defense might fail, guess what? We have the reigning Vezina Trophy winner in net as the last line of defense. And I dare say he is better than one Ole Kolzig, the only goalie in Caps history to take the team to the final. Make of it what you will, the haters are going to hate, but the point I'm trying to make is feel confident about this team going far and perhaps going all the way. But don't assume it's a foregone conclusion, because if, as we all know, Caps fans should know above anyone else, strange stuff happens in the playoffs. But this may be the year, oh ye hockey gods, please let this be the year that they finally break through. So, done with my Sermon on the Mount, let's move on to the historical segment. I will make this brief, I promise. So, basically, what this is going to be about is how the NHL came to be 100 years ago. 100 years, to be exact, 100 years from, what was it, October? So, 100 years from 6 months from now, almost to the day. So, 99 and a half years, if you want to be exact. Now, what it all came down to is there were six teams in the league, and two of them were owned by one guy. And this one guy caused problems at every turn. His name was Eddie Livingstone. And over the years, basically, well, okay, so first of all, I should have mentioned this. First of all, it wasn't called the National Hockey League. It was called the National Hockey Association. And it was six teams. And it was run by a guy named Frank Robinson. No, not that Frank Robinson. Was run by a guy named Frank Robinson, who got the bright idea, who happened to own one of the two teams in Toronto and sold it to this guy, Eddie Livingstone. Where have we heard that before? Guy running the league and owning a team at the same time. So over the years, like I said, this guy Livingstone had been causing some problems for his fellow owners, gotten into personal feuds with them, especially the owner of the Montreal Wanderers, Sammy Lichtenhain. And so, finally, before the start of what was to be the 1917-1918 season, the other owners decided they'd had enough of Eddie Livingstone and decided that since they couldn't throw him out per NHA rules, they would just simply start up a whole new league. And that was the legal course of action. And so what they did was they got Frank Calder to organize the whole thing. Round everything up legally, created a whole new league, the National Hockey League, with the four remaining teams, Ottawa, Montreal, the two Montreal teams, Quebec, and a new Toronto team, and left Livingstone out with his one remaining team because he had to fold the other because he didn't have enough players. That was one of the problems they had with him. He was shifting players back and forth between these two teams, which the owners thought, obviously enough, wasn't fair. So if you think about it, there would be no NHL today if it weren't for this one guy, if it weren't for Eddie Livingstone. So the next time you think that you're one person and you're not going to make a difference, well, you might well make a difference for good or bad, but you can make a difference. And the story of the birth of the NHL definitely proves that. And Eddie Livingstone was never properly heard from again. He tried to restart the NHA. He tried to start his own rebel professional league. Never could do it. And so what he wound up doing was coaching and running minor and amateur teams. And so he was never heard from again. But if not for him, the NHL never would have came to be. So how does this tie into the Caps, you say? Well, Kevin Shattenkirk was just traded. Maybe he's that one man that can make the difference. Or you Caps fans out there that go to the games, that watch the games, that listen to Joe Beninati and Craig Laughlin and John Walton and Ken Sabourin on TV and radio. Maybe you're the seventh man. Maybe you're the one man that makes the difference. Maybe we all are that man. One person can make that difference. I feel good about this team. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to make any bold predictions, but I feel very good about this team. The proof, of course, is going to be in the pudding. It always is. But I feel very good about this team, and I've already told you why. So, I'm ready to face the music more than ever. So, with that being said, I'm going to risk something. I'm going to do something I've never done before, and that's put my personal information out there for anyone who's interested, anyone that wants to start a dialogue with me about this, or any topic for that matter. Getting a few hits on the old mail.com inbox, but that doesn't seem to be generating a lot of fluff, in my honest opinion. So I'm kind of pushing them by the wayside. I'm going to take an example from Mr. General Manager Brian McClellan. I'm going to put everything out there, put all my chips in the center of the table, put it all out there. My personal contact email, the one I do the most business with, is a Yahoo address, GLHALLOWED, basically my initials, GLH, and the word allowed, at yahoo.com. I'm giving Yahoo a second chance, even though they've been jerking around with my settings lately. Not too happy with them, by the way, but that's another story for another podcast. So there you have it. You want to contact me? You have any questions? There it is. I'll be sure to answer you right away if you're curious. And once again, that address is GLHALLOWED@yahoo.com. I check the thing about literally 90 times a day because so much crap comes through there. But if you want to debate me one-on-one, you have a question, you have a concern, contact me. I'm putting myself out there. Or if you just need someone to hold your hand and talk you through everything and talk you off of the ledge as a Caps fan, I'm here. Because nobody knows better than me, I think, what it takes, what kind of a toll it takes on you mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, come April and beyond. And this one is probably going to be no different. This one may be, well, I don't think I have to say it. It's either going to be the highest of highs or it is going to be the worst gut punch of all time. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. But strap in and enjoy the ride, because it's happening. Tomorrow is March. Tomorrow is the trade deadline. No telling what the other teams are going to do. Oh, by the way, I want to throw out this tidbit. Almost forgot. Be thankful we got Shattenkirk, because if anything, that means Pittsburgh doesn't have Shattenkirk. Apparently, according to Russian Machine Niva Bricks, they were in the running for Shattenkirk as well. Other sources have confirmed this. So, even if you're not a fan of Shattenkirk, be thankful Pittsburgh didn't get him at least, and we do have him. Something else to consider. Okay, so, happy 100th birthday, NHL. Happy acquiring Kevin Shattenkirk, he of the perverted Trekkie handle, formerly of the St. Louis Blues, day. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. Obviously, it's time for me to shut this down because I'm way out of practice. But I promise, I don't know when that'll be, but I promise I will have a next show coming up, most likely as we get closer to the playoffs. We'll have a playoff preview at the very least. I'm not sure if it's going to be next week or within the next 2 weeks, but we'll certainly have a rundown before the first round. I promise you that. I will make the time and effort. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, let's go Caps.